the nicest.
Not good, but we'll behave.
Chasing after death so we can call ourselves brave.
Still living like mental slaves. Hiding like thieves in the night from life. Illusions of oasis making you look twice. Hiding like thieves in the night from life. Illusions of oasis making you look twice. I'm sure that everybody out listening agree that everything you see ain't really how it be. A lot of jokers out running in place, chasing the style. Be a lot going on beneath the empty smile.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Darnell Hunt, the director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and professor of sociology at UCLA. Dr. Hunt has written extensively on race and media, including numerous scholarly journal articles, popular magazine articles, and has published four books about these issues. His most recent book is Black Los Angeles, American Dreams and Racial Realities. Welcome to Background Briefing, Darnell Hunt.
Thanks, Ian.
And the president on Sunday dedicated the Martin Luther King Memorial in Washington, D.C., along with a number of other speakers. And the president's speech, in many ways, sort of echoed some of the it wasn't missed on the audience that the president was speaking of Dr. King's struggles. And I think many thought that the president was speaking for himself, quoting here the president, "For every victory, there are setbacks," the president said. "Even after winning the Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King was vilified by many." Well, that certainly applies to President Obama, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, it was a very interesting speech, I thought. It was quite eloquent, pretty much in league with what Obama has been known to do before as being the orator that he is. There's some major differences, obviously, between himself and Dr. King. I mean, the periods, the historical moments are interesting in many ways, but I think the biggest difference, obviously, is that Obama, in many ways, symbolizes what King talked about when he talked about the dream, of what America could become. I mean, of course, here we have a president who has African roots, something that I don't think many people could have imagined in King's day. In that sense, it's the realization of a dream. The irony, of course, is that we're living in an economic situation that's in many ways far worse than what existed when King was alive and shortly before he was assassinated in 1968. I mean, many of the economic figures are actually worse for African Americans and other subordinated groups in American society. So in that sense, the dream has become a nightmare. So, I mean, it's a very poignant speech. It's very ironic in many ways, at least, but it's quite eloquent in how he delivered it.
But I recall there were some voices in the African American community that were quite critical of Dr. King back then for not being more radical, not being more anti-Vietnam War. I think some even used the phrase Uncle Tom. Is there anything similar in expressing disappointment and impatience with the president that you're hearing from the African-American community?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, this whole debate about, you know, Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, you know, making the circuit and critiquing the president in terms of the speed at which he's moving the nation forward toward economic and racial justice, and other people feeling that, you know, you're giving the president a bad shake, look at the mess he inherited it, you know, give him some time to pull things together. I mean, I think this is a debate you're hearing in the African-American community, and there's some who would just assume, cut him some slack and not criticize him quite this severely at this moment. It's been less than 4 years since he assumed office, and the nation was a mess when he took over, and it's a mess now. On the other hand, there are people who look at some of his presidential appointees, and these people represent some of the same interests that got us into this mess. So if we're going to get out of this mess and if there's going to be real change, if there's actually going to be hope, we have to try something different. So I think this is the debate you see within the African-American community. And maybe it isn't as vocal as some of the other debates you heard in the past, and I think the reason it isn't as vocal is because you have an African-American now who's sort of the principal person working within the system, whereas before, in the 1960s and Dr. King's day, most of these critiques were being thrown from outside the system. I mean, a group that was trying to be included in the system, incorporated into the system. So I think that's the major difference.
Again, I'm speaking with Darnell Hunt, the director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and professor of sociology at UCLA. He's the author of Black Los Angeles, American Dreams and Racial Realities. And you mentioned, Darnell, the pretty dire statistics for in African American employment, particularly amongst young men. A statistic that I found startling that I just learned yesterday talking to about the European crisis, which is in many ways, as you know, the Occupy Wall Street movement has spread across this country and around the world. And 44 out of 100 young Spaniards are out of work. What is the what's the figure for young African-American men?
Well, African-American men overall, it's about 16.8%, which compares to about 8% for the white population. So we're talking about a figure that's a little bit more than twice the unemployment rate for black men overall. Now, historically in this country, the black-white difference has been one of a magnitude of about two. That is to say, African-Americans have historically in this country faced unemployment rates about twice that of white Americans. It's fluctuated a little bit. I mean, throughout the Reagan-Bush years, for example, it was a little bit higher than two times. And of course, during the Clinton years, it was right about two. And I guess for most of the last 10 years or so, it's been hovering right below two, and now it's back over two again. So we're in a situation where when economic times get bad, the group that's at the bottom of society usually feels it a bit worse, and that happens to be African Americans. And the irony, of course, is that we have a black president in the White House when this is happening.
Well, you mentioned Bill Clinton, because he's often referred to as the first black American president. How would you compare his popularity to the present incumbents?
Well, I think Bill Clinton benefited greatly from 12 years of horror under Reagan and Bush. And so the African American community in particular, which felt besieged by the policies of Reagan and Bush, would have welcomed just about anyone. But I think Bill Clinton, you know, he was a figure behind welfare reform, NAFTA, which, you know, led to the escape of good jobs in America, issues that now, looking back on it, a lot of us regret, and particularly in the African American community. So but I think his image is one who followed Reagan Bush, and again, that was an improvement over that 12-year period, which was particularly bleak in terms of all kinds of backlash politics attempting to undo all of the civil rights gains of the 1960s.
So obviously the issues coming up in 2012, Darnell Hunt, are about turnout. I think most political scientists agree that no president, I think the statistics are pretty clear, that no president except Roosevelt has ever been reelected with over 9% unemployment. And it looks as if it could be even worse by the time we get around to voting in November of next year. The latest poll by CNN indicates a tremendous enthusiasm deficit on the part of Democrats, where some 64% of Republicans say they're extremely or very enthusiastic about voting next year, compared only to 43% of Democrats. Now, I find that pretty extraordinary, given the candidates that they've been putting up in these endless debates. But apparently, the Republicans are actually enthusiastic about Herman Cain and these others. But there's nobody. There's not the same enthusiasm on the Democratic side. Does that apply to the African American community as well?
Yeah, I think the African American community is, by and large, supportive of the president, but somewhat disappointed that things haven't turned around more quickly. I mean, you know, the gravity of the situation, I think, is really just being understood. And so on some level, there's not the same excitement that was there in the last election in 2008 that led to the major change that we saw. That said, most of the people who supported Obama are not going to support any of these Republican candidates they've been presenting here lately. So the question is, really, like you said, the question of voter turnout. I mean, will people just stay home and not participate because they've essentially opted out. And I'm hoping that isn't the case, and I'm hoping that what we're seeing with this outpouring of protest around the country and around the world represents an awakening and a recognition that business as usual is just not going to cut it. So I'm hoping that that will be a game changer that will shake up the cycle a bit, because what we've been seeing, of course, is sort of this cycling back and forth between, you know, 8-12 years of Republican control, deregulation, increasing gaps between the wealthy and the poor, then you get a brief respite with a Democratic administration that comes in and puts some people back to work. The economy turns around for a moment, and then the tide changes. We get into some type of wedge politics. We get Republicans back, and the cycle begins anew. I'm hoping that what we're seeing throughout the streets of America, Occupy Wall Street, Occupy LA, it's sort of a recognition that, okay, this is the game they've been playing and that something new has to happen. You know, call me a cautious optimist, but I'm hoping that that will cast a pretty big shadow on the next election.
Well, presumably, once there is a Republican candidate, I mean, they have the advantage as much as they're soaking up media attention because of this essentially no challenger against the president, and there's quite a number of Republicans up there. Herman Cain strikes me as an interesting candidate in as much as he is as popular in the current polls as the other front runner, or he's a co-front runner, if you will, with Mitt Romney. Do African Americans buy his act? Because I found it interesting that the other night on MSNBC that Lawrence O'Donnell challenged him about what Herman Cain, about what were you doing when Martin Luther King was freeing this country? And he basically said, my father told me to stay out of trouble. Well, you know, to which O'Donnell said, well, if every African American acted like you did, there would have been no civil rights.
Sure. Well, you know, I would hope not. I mean, I think African Americans learned their lesson from the Clarence Thomas debacle. And, you know, lots of African Americans, despite knowing better and not agreeing with his policies and his perspectives on a number of social issues, supported him, or rather didn't oppose him, because he was an African American who was filling the quote-unquote Thurgood Marshall seat. I don't think that African Americans are now are at that place now. You know, we've learned a lot over the past couple of decades, and I think we're going to judge the candidate on the basis of his policies and what he or she has to offer. And I think that that's what people did when they supported Obama. It's just that things haven't unfolded the way that many on the left had hoped they would. You know, so I don't think Cain has a prayer in terms of black voters. Really, I mean, the majority of black voters. Of course, they're going to be black Republicans and others who are more conservative who might find what he has to say appealing. But for most African Americans who are hurting within this economy and within the social circumstances that many people of color find themselves in this country, I just don't see how what he's saying is going to be appealing.
Well, what about what Jesse Jackson said at the dedication for Martin Luther King on Sunday in Washington, D.C.? Jackson said referring to Obama's Republican opponents, he referred to them as men that seem willing to sink the ship just to destroy the captain. And it does seem that at this point the Republicans do appear, I think there's a bumper sticker out saying they seem determined for millions of you to lose your job just so that one man loses his.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the whole crisis last summer over the deficit and what we're going to do about that indicates in many ways the length to which I think the other side would go to essentially create a situation where they would be elected. That is to say, things would be so bad, the wheels would come off, and the incumbents would all have to go regardless, and of course we change parties. So yeah, I think there is some of that to what's going on right now with the current politicking in Washington. It's extremely unfortunate, but it's sort of the game we've been playing now for quite a long time, as opposed to kind of coming together and arriving at a consensus that's best for the country overall. We've been playing partisan politics to the detriment of our well-being.
So do you think then that something's going to happen to get not just the African-Americans out to vote, or but to get the Democrats out to vote in general, given the CNN poll that I cited where 64% of Republicans say they're extremely enthusiastic about next year's election compared to only 43% Democrats?
Yeah, the problem with polls is that they're snapshots. I mean, the conditions that led to the poll you're citing could very well change tomorrow, and the numbers could sway quite significantly. So, you know, I really do feel, and I'm going to go back to the point I made earlier, I really feel that this Occupy Wall Street movement, Occupy America movement, is going to be key. I mean, it's going to be this election's Tea Party, but in a much more positive way. I mean, the Tea Party, after all, I think was really subsidized by the very people that are creating all the problems. But I feel this movement is a lot more genuine. It's a movement that's tapped into what average Americans are really feeling. And I think concretizing the realities of our situation in ways that conventional electoral politics have not been able to do in recent years. So I think that we're going to see some different things in this election because of this movement. And what those things are, I mean, I don't know that I can predict how it's going to play out, but I don't think it's going to be business as usual.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Darnell Hunt.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Darnell Hunt, who's the director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and professor of sociology at UCLA. He's the author of Black Los Angeles, American Dreams and Racial Realities. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbons. This program is available at ianmasters.com. You can sign up for podcasts and contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.